Good morning. It is great having you with us. I hope your weekend has been good. If not, I hope that this experience that you have with us this morning makes it a much better weekend. This weekend, I had the privilege of picking oranges off of our tree with my good friend Chris Slagle. Needless to say, I donated 2 pints of blood, and we're grateful that we're celebrating communion today to remember what Jesus' blood actually means rather than mine. So it's a good thing. But we picked 1,738 oranges, and we didn't know that we got applause for that, but thank you for that. And this tree is like Cam Newton. It can't be stopped, and it's just crazy. So that's all there is to it. I'll talk about the Super Bowl in a little while. But right now, I want to direct your attention. We have announcements in the bulletin. You can read over those. If you have questions about them, please don't be afraid to ask. You can stop by Welcome Central and ask there. They'll give you, they'll either answer your question or they'll put you in the direction of talking to the person who can help answer that question. We have, in the middle of all our services, we take an offering, and I'm alerting you to a new way that you can contribute to that offering. We're going to show a video here very quickly. And if you have a smartphone, I invite you to get out that smartphone and get it ready, because you'll see that this new thing that we're introducing, it's called Push Pay. It's very easy. It's so easy that I can do it. And we encourage people, because we know this, that most people don't carry cash anymore. And so here we go. So let's show that video now, and then I'll make a couple comments afterwards. So here we go. Pretty little catchy tune. I heard somebody say that was really cute. It is cute. And but giving to the Lord is a great opportunity. It's a great privilege that we have here. So we're going to continue to inform you about this. That was a very quick thing, giving you ideas or ways that you can give to the ongoing ministry here at FBC Scottsdale. We know this, that there are different things going on in all our lives, so much so that we can get caught up and we can forget that we're not alone in this. And the psalmist writes these words in Psalm 94. He says, "When I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Yahweh, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." I don't know where you are on the anxiety level right now. It could be overwhelming you. Or perhaps the anxiety level isn't even happening right now in your life. Things are all good. Either way, we have a God who gives joy in the midst of our anxiety. He isn't an anxious God. He is a God who's constantly reaching out to us. And so this morning, we're going to sing some songs. We're going to hear the word proclaimed. We're going to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We're going to hear from Mark Zeman, a missionary that we support in Hungary. We're going to have all these different elements, but let us not lose sight of how great this God is that we worship. Your anxiety may be great, but his consolation, his comfort is far greater. Father, we pray now, as we come into this time of corporate worship, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move in such a way that we understand more fully who you are. Lord, we may very well be here this morning with great anxiety, and we pray that what the psalmist wrote centuries, if not even millennia ago, would still be true today. That you would be the great comforter, the great consoler. We pray that that would happen, and we pray that we would be receptive to your work. So, Lord, open our mouths that we may sing out to you. Open our ears that we may hear from you. And open our lives so that we may respond to you with everything that we have. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand up, greet one another, thank each other for being here. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, everyone. Just join us together in worship. You guys can be seated. Pastor, would you come?
That same power does live in us, lives in those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. That same power that moves mountains when he speaks, that same power that sees the world in front of us and says, I've got this. That same power lives in us. And on a day like today, when it's Super Bowl Sunday, we are going to hear a variety of messages out there about how important this game is, this Super Bowl, this clash of the Panthers versus the Broncos and how everything in this world revolves around this one game. I got to tell you, I don't have a dog in this fight. The Broncos beat the Steelers a number of weeks ago, so really I'm in an apathetic mode. But I'm still going to watch the game. And I am pulling for the Broncos, which now that I've said that probably means they're not going to do that well. But in a matter of hours, people are going to gather around televisions. They're going to celebrate the fact that today is the official end of football. Because many of you are sitting here going, why does he talk about football? My wife is overjoyed that football season's over. And I'm going, wow. I'm not going to respond to that. But, and even if you're not involved in football and you don't like it very much, you watch the commercials. And by the way, a 30-second spot right now is going for $5 million, which is absolutely outrageous. And everybody wants to get excited, and everybody wants you to be excited. Everybody wants you to realize how big of a deal this is that the Super Bowl happens. Hundreds of millions of people are going to be watching this game. And it's easy for us to get wrapped up and think that this is really an amazing thing. But yet the writer, Luke, would tell us something different. Luke, if he could speak to us today, and if he was here right now, he would say, you guys get excited about a football game. Let me tell you about a 24-hour period of time in my Savior, Jesus Christ's life. Because that's what we're going to look at this morning, is this 24-hour period of time where Jesus Christ does remarkable things. And Luke can say, you can get excited about football. You can get excited about all that you're going to see. He says, but I'll tell you this, that the one you should be excited about is the one who sees every day of your life and knows what needs to happen in your life, who sees what's going on in your life, and he's able to do something about it. One day. We pick up the reading in Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 31. Listen to what he says here. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and it was the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them, and he would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Father, we pray now as we come into this time of your word, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. We pray that we would understand better who you are and what you desire to do in our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open our ears so that we can hear what it is that you want us to hear. Open our eyes so that we can see what it is that you want us to see. Open our minds so that we may think on who you are and what it means to be your people. And open our hearts so that we may live lives in response to you and your great grace. Holy Spirit, do the work, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke tells us that Jesus enters a synagogue in Capernaum, and he goes to this synagogue, and there might be a picture of the wall of the synagogue pop up on the screen here real soon, and if not, that's okay. But when I was in Israel and I went to Capernaum, I was just entranced by this, the fact that Jesus was there, that Jesus did all types of teaching there. And as he was doing this teaching, I come to these passages where I sit there and I hear that the people were amazed at his teaching. And I often find myself going, what's the deal? Why were they amazed just because you went to Capernaum? Why is it that at this particular synagogue, Luke found it necessary to tell us that the people were amazed at his teaching? Well, here's why. This particular synagogue in Capernaum was a place where different rabbis, as they're traveling throughout the region, would stop in and do various teachings if they felt that God was calling them to teach at that particular synagogue. So these people in Capernaum had heard numerous rabbis, had heard numerous people give their interpretations of the law. They had heard different folks, different individuals teach about how important it is to live this way or to do this or to do that. But look at what it says here. It says this: they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. It wasn't anything that he did. It was what he said. His words carried authority. His words changed lives. A number of years ago, a butcher who was one of many butchers in the town was making far more of a profit than the other butchers in the town. And there was a reason for it, and you'll hear about that in just a few moments. But he was doing really well, and a friend of his came up to him and invited him to go to church one day. And so after a few weeks of this friend asking him, not in a mean-spirited way, but just kept inviting him to go to church, the butcher finally agreed to go, and he went there without his wife and went through the whole service, and he came home, and there was something a little bit different about him. And so his wife looked at him and said, "What happened?" He said, I can't really explain it. She said, "Well, did they sing songs?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, what were the songs?" And he says, I don't remember them. He says, "Well, did you meet anybody new?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I met a lot of new people." "Well, what were their names?" "I can't remember." He says, "Well, how long was the service?" He said, I think it was like an hour and a half, maybe. Can't really remember how long it was. "Well, what did the person preach on?" He says, "Preached on something Jesus said." And all of a sudden, the wife's excited because she's actually going to get a response that's more than just a few words. He says, "Well, what was it?" And he looks at her and he says, I can't remember. The wife is frustrated. She's agitated. And she says, "You mean to tell me you went to the service, you can't remember any of the songs, you can't remember the names of the people you met. You tell me that it was that the person preached on something out of something that Jesus taught on, but you can't remember that?" She says, "What good did it do you to go?" And he paused and he said to her, "I'll tell you what good it did. Before I open the shop tomorrow, I'm fixing every one of those scales so that it gives people a true reading of what they're actually buying. I'm done ripping people off." When Jesus Christ's word impacts our lives, it changes the very way that we live our lives. You might not remember a word that I say later on, but here's what I do believe. I do believe that the Holy Spirit takes what his word says and sinks it deeply into our lives. I believe when we spend time in God's word, it changes us. There's a reason why it says daily time in the Bible on your message notes page. It isn't there because we didn't have anything else to put in there. It's there for a reason. We believe that encountering Jesus Christ in his word changes the way we live our lives, and he continues to transform us into the very people that he desires us to be. You might not remember it, but yet God uses his word to change our lives. Jesus Christ, notice this, what the people are impressed with isn't anything that Jesus does. It's that his words have authority. It's his words that spoke creation into being. It's his words that spoke to Noah about how to design the ark. It's his words that spoke to King David and said, you don't need to be afraid, even though you're fearing for your life in this cave. It's his words that spoke to the prophet Zephaniah while the people were in exile. And he said through the prophet Zephaniah, tell the people they're not forgotten. Tell the people that I am with them. Tell the people that I delight in them. It's his words that spoke into the cave where Lazarus, or into the tomb where Lazarus was, and said, Lazarus, come out of there. And Lazarus came out. It's his words that change lives. They've been changing lives forever, and they will change your life today. You see, we want to think that his words are just like anybody else's words. But it's his words that have authority. It's his words that impact lives for eternity. And so he's speaking in this synagogue, and you can see this, you can almost imagine what's going to happen. And as he's teaching in this particular synagogue, Luke says this, in the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. In the midst of his teaching, in the midst of his preaching, a demon-possessed man shows up and screams at the top of his voice. This week, the Phoenix Open is happening up at the TPC. Yesterday, there were 201,000 people who attended that event on that day. It's mass chaos. I had the privilege the other day to go with some great folks to go see a few hours of it on Thursday. And as I was working on the message, I sat there and I was picturing a demon-possessed man running through the fairway of like the eighth hole. And what would happen? Well, here's what would happen. Police would come from everywhere and tackle this individual, put them on the ground, and do whatever they could to silence this man. In first service, I said, what happens if he was at the 16th hole, the 16th green? And then I caught myself going, well, everybody there seems demon-possessed with all the stuff they yell about anyway. But they would stop him. Notice what Jesus does here. At the TPC, they have these cards that say quiet on them to get everybody to quiet down. But look what Jesus does in verse 35. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. The fact is this, holding up a sign saying quiet to a demon-possessed individual isn't going to stop that person, but the words of Jesus Christ, his voice, speaks into that demon-possessed man, and what happens? It's over. It's done with. You can see that tension in that room at that time. As this demon-possessed man begins yelling. This demon-possessed man whose life is being taken away chunk by chunk, day after day. Completely isolated. Completely rejected by society. And as he's yelling at Jesus, and Jesus looks at him, and notice what happens. Jesus doesn't tell the man to turn around, go get cleaned up, and then I'll talk to you. Jesus Christ looks at the man right at him, and he says, be quiet. Come out of him. This demon who's destroying his life is face to face with Jesus Christ, who is the giver of life. This demon who steals, kills, and destroys is facing Jesus Christ, who gives, provides, and restores. This demon who's isolated this man is now coming in contact with the one who will restore this man into community. The tension had to be thick. And Jesus Christ looks at the man and he says, "Be quiet, come out of him." I find it fascinating that Jesus doesn't say, "Go get your act together and then we'll talk." This community of faith is foolish enough to believe that you can come as you are to this place to worship with us. You can come here with all your baggage, all your hurts, all your habits, all your hang-ups, all your anxieties, all the good things, all the bad things, all the ugly things. You can come here with us because we believe this, that when you come here, we believe that you're going to encounter Jesus Christ in such a way that you will not be the same. When you come in these doors, everybody doesn't stop at Welcome Central and look at a checklist of, well, they need to do this, 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 and this, and then they can come in. If you were to stop by Welcome Central and say, "What are the requirements to come in there?" the people at Welcome Central would laugh at you and just say, "Just get in there." We believe that it's important for you to come as you are because Jesus Christ is the one who changes lives. We certainly don't. And you're amongst a group of people whose lives are being transformed by Jesus Christ. And so this demon-possessed man encounters Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ speaks into his life and says, "Quiet, get out of him." And notice what happens. The demon-possessed man falls down. And it's interesting what Luke says. The demon came out without injuring him. Jesus Christ desires to restore your life, no matter what's going on in your life today. It could be big anxieties. It could be small things. And the people were amazed at what Jesus Christ said. They couldn't believe it. This confrontation. This battle between evil and righteousness. In the middle of the synagogue, there's a man laying on the ground, probably sleeping like a baby, like he had never slept before. He was at peace. I shared earlier what the psalmist writes about when his anxiety was great, that God's consolation became his joy. What anxieties do you have? What's taking possession of your life where you need Jesus Christ to speak into that and say, "Be quiet, come out of them"? Because he'll do that. And then Luke does something that's really cool. And for most people, casting out a demon, that would be a good day's work. But look what happens. We pick it up in verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Jesus Christ has just cast out a demon, reminding us that he is greater than anything that comes his way. And then he goes on a little walk down the street to Simon's house. Luke then tells us that Simon's mother-in-law is sick. I got to tell you, I have a confession to make. Every time I read this story, I'm going, what's going on here? You have this powerful demon possession this demon's being cast out by Jesus. That's a big deal. No offense to Simon's mother-in-law, but she's just got a fever. What's going on? I really am more compassionate than what I'm saying. But I'm sitting there going, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, it was like God said to me, John, you're the biggest wimp when you're sick. You know what's going on. Because, John, when you get sick, your entire world stops. You have a little sniffle and you think you need to go to the hospital. You get what's going on. So we have this demon-possessed man freed, and then Jesus goes and takes care of this woman's sickness. And what Luke is saying to us is this, is no matter how big your problem is, if it's demon possession, Jesus can handle it. No matter how big your physical ailment is, a high fever or something else, Jesus can handle it. He can walk with you through it. He's not going to give up on you. What he's saying is, my God, my Jesus can cover everything that comes your way, and he will do it. I don't know what's going on in your life today. You might be sick. Go to Jesus. His grace will carry you through your sickness. It might be anxiety about a bill. Go to Jesus. His peace, his joy will be there. It might be a relationship issue. Go to Jesus. His grace will carry you through. What Luke is saying here is there is nothing that Jesus Christ can't handle. And by the way, don't think that what you're going through is insignificant. God cares about you so much that even what you might consider insignificant, he says it's significant. Go to Jesus. Or better yet, let him go to you. So Jesus gets to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law is sick. And notice what happens here. It says that Jesus rebuked the fever. He treats the fever as if it's a person, and he rebukes the fever. She gets better, and then look what she does. She gets up and waits on them. Now, she could have sat there and said, "What took you so long? I've been sick for a while. I've been crying out. My family's been crying out. Where have you been?" But what does she do? She instantly responds and waits on them. Here's what strikes me, is that Jesus Christ has done so many great things in our lives that we have an opportunity to respond to him with our whole lives by serving him, by giving to him. And yet, so often we sit on our rear ends and say, "Can't you do better than that?" And we sit and critique, and we sit and judge, and we sit and do all these different things rather than responding in our lives saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I'm going to serve." I've found this to be true, that when people are serving, they spend a whole lot less time critiquing, because they're involved in what's going on. So I ask you this morning, how has Jesus reached into your life? And then in the process of him reaching into your life and speaking into your life, what's your response to that? Is it an attitude of judgment? Is it an attitude of criticism? Is it an attitude of apathy? Or is it an attitude that says, "I'm here to serve"? And trust me, if you have ideas where you want to serve, please let us know. We'd be more than happy to help make that happen. But Simon's mother-in-law gets up and serves. Are you serving? This world has enough people seeking after themselves. This world needs more people seeking after Jesus Christ and serving him by giving of themselves to others, trusting that he's going to give them the power to keep going. There's no mention in here. Luke doesn't say, you know, after she ate and did all this stuff, then she was ready to go. Luke says she instantly starts serving them. His power that spoke into the grave, his power that moves mountains when he speaks, lives in us. Are you weak? Jesus says, I can give you strength. And then Luke does this. And by the way, that's two things. Those are two big things that happen. But yet Jesus is not done. We pick it up at verse 40. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Cast out a demon. He's healed Simon's mother-in-law. And the day isn't over. And you guys think that the Super Bowl is a big deal? This Jesus Christ that I'm talking about casts out a demon, heals Simon's mother-in-law, and then people kept bringing people to him. All in a 24-hour period of time this is going on, and Jesus dealt with every single situation. And people want to ask, well, why did he tell him to be quiet? Here's why. It wasn't time for people to understand that he was the Messiah. It's interesting that the only people who acknowledge that he's the Messiah are demoniacs. Demon-possessed folks who are being freed and they realize who they're dealing with. Jesus says you need to be quiet because I want people to see who the Messiah truly is. The people then want to prevent him from moving on. And Jesus says, I got to keep moving. We want Jesus to do all these things in our life. And when he does these things in our life, we sit there and say, he's all for us. And he's all about me. And he's all about you. And you know what? Hear me very clearly. He is that at times. But he's all about everybody. And he says, yeah, some great things have happened here. But that's just a portion of what needs to happen. There are other people that need to know me. And so Jesus takes off. And he expands his work. It's his voice. It's his words that changed people's lives. These very words that said, it is finished when he was on that cross. And these very words that said, I'm alive, never to die again. Jesus' words matter. And Jesus' words change lives. Just as this demoniac, just as Simon's mother-in-law, just as these other people that came to Jesus, their lives were changed, your life can be changed today as well. He's that good. He's that big. He's that powerful. Nothing can stand in his way when we turn to him. Father, we pray as we consider these words. We pray that you would enliven in us, awaken in us a spirit that says we're here to serve. That we would give to you what it is. And Lord, there are people in this room right now who are carrying a lot of stuff. We pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would speak into their stuff and say that you are there. Jesus, thank you for your words. Thank you that they change lives. And we pray that you'd change our lives. Do the work that only you can do. As we come as we are, you do the work. And we thank you that it's accomplished in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray all this. Amen. The first Sunday of every month, we remember what he did for us. We remember that there was a night when he was with his apostles, and he was about to be betrayed. And on that night, he took bread, he broke it, and he said that this bread represents my body, which will be broken for you. After they ate the bread, he then took the cup and he poured wine into the cup and he said, this wine represents my blood that will be shed for you. Not just anybody's blood, but my blood. A blood that was shed so that you may have forgiveness of sins. Remember me. So the elements are going to come to you, and as you receive each element, may you remember what Jesus Christ has done, what he accomplished, and how his words matter in your life. So on that night when he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. He said, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. Every time you guys get together, remember me. And so this morning, we take, we eat, we remember.
Thank you.
but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but your blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
So after they ate the bread, Jesus then distributed the wine. And he said, this represents my blood, which will be shed for you. Not just any blood, my blood. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so today we remember that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for us so that we may have forgiveness. Jesus said, every time you get together, remember this, remember me. And so this morning, we take, we drink, we remember. We now come to a time in the service where we respond with an offering. You saw the push pay thing earlier, and we'll talk more about that. But the most important thing to remember about the offering is that it's us giving back a portion of what God has already given to us. As we take the offering this morning, you're going to hear from a distinguished gentleman, and I use that word loosely, Mark Zeman, a missionary that this church has been supporting. He's a missionary in Hungary. He's an incredibly gifted individual, become a good friend of mine over the years, and we look forward to hearing from him. And after he plays, you'll hear about his work in Budapest and how God is using him to make an impact there. So, Mark, we look.
Good morning. It's great to be back here. I was just here in July, August. I wasn't expecting to be back so soon, but I had to come and renew my green card after 10 years. So I had to enter the country a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, when John heard I was here, he said, Mark, please come and play for us and just update us on what's going on in Hungary. I've been there for 13 and a half years. Some of you I still recognize. And this church has been faithfully supporting me all this time. There are four main things I do over there. The first is a big gospel choir. Never thought I would go over there to do gospel music as a choir director, because I'm just a piano player. But the Lord had other things in mind. So we have a gospel choir that is absolutely a wonderfully vibrant ministry. Anybody can join. You don't have to sing. You don't have to be a Christian. Gospel music in Europe is very popular. And so people will come to the choir just to enjoy the music. And in the process, they discover, wow, this is actually about good news and about Jesus Christ. And then they come to the church and they get saved. So the Lord's using this gospel choir in amazing ways. We hardly ever sing in church. We sing all in public places, town squares, town halls, everywhere, and we preach the gospel. Second thing I do, Monday nights is a Hungarian Bible study, and I do the worship, about 30 minutes of music in Hungarian only. And when I started 5 years ago, I was like, eesh, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I've learned. And so now most of the songs I know, I can only think in Hungarian. And when I hear them sung like today in English, oh, that's weird. So I guess I've acclimatized a little bit. Third thing I do, the main church is in Pest. Budapest is two cities on either side of the Danube River. And the main church is in Pest. And we started about 3 years ago a satellite church across the river in Buda. And I was asked as one of the elders from the main church to go over and help with that. And it's going pretty well, a small community of about 30, 40 people. And just last September, we instituted a full-time pastor there, missionary pastor, who has a Hungarian wife. And so slowly my responsibility over there is sort of winding down. I'll probably go back to the big church in September. And then the fourth thing I do is every once in a while I'll preach. I don't think of myself as a preacher, but every once in a while, I do preach or teach. And so those are the four main things I'm doing over there. And the Lord's really been blessing. And I thank you for your support, both financial and, more importantly, prayer. So that's the update. And if any of you ever in Budapest, come visit. Let me know, and I'll show you around. Beautiful city. It's a beautiful city. It was ranked, I think, the second most beautiful city last year in Europe. So beautiful city. That's it. Okay.
Let's stand again. We're going to worship some more. Earlier we were doing that song, Nothing But the Blood. We're going to do that again. And just keep that in mind. Keep the words and just what we've been doing here tonight, or this morning, fresh on your mind. How it is His blood. It is His life. Jesus lived and died and rose again for us. But more than that, it's the good news. It's the good news that we can come and He forgives us. He takes us in, and we don't deserve any of it. So let's just keep that in mind today.
A better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me, stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Sing
sing that out together. What can wash?
And what can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood, nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
Testifies in grace, tells of the Father's heart to make a way for us. Boldly we approach, not by earthly confidence. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash us pure as snow? Welcomed as the friends of God.
Let's sing that one more time. What can wash?
And what can wash? Welcomed as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus.
How much he loves us. Let's sing this to him tonight.
And he is jealous for me. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. By glory, I realize just how beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. All of the sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us.
We just thank You so much. We can't even comprehend how awesome that is, that You love us. God, we don't deserve anything. Thank You, thank You. From the bottom of our hearts, thank You. With our lives, we give You everything. We thank You. Amen. Pastor, would you go?
So may those words ring true in your life this week. May those words remind you when those times come when you're doubting whether or not He cares. He loves us. He never stops loving us. On your way out, you can say hi to Mark and greet him. And if you're interested, one of the ways that he raises financial support for his ministry is he has CDs that are available. If you'd like to contribute to that, please don't be afraid to do that. Know this, that He loves you, that He cares for you, and that He can handle whatever comes your way. God bless you. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the commercials. Bye-bye.